In order to give Dr. Borman the maximum amount of time for his presentation, we're going to go ahead and get started with the session as you enjoy your dessert. Please continue to do that as long as I speak, and then once he starts, you have to stop. No, actually, that's not true. I'll keep my remarks brief so that he can enjoy the maximum amount of presentation time. The Center for the American Idea, which I work with, has worked for a number of years with teachers, and we've worked in economic education and also in the education in terms of America's heritage of liberty and personal responsibility. And I would like to start off by just giving a quick quote from Dr. Russell Kirk's book, Prospect for Conservatives, because I think this lays the groundwork pretty well for what we're talking about this weekend. Dr. Kirk said, the true conservative knows that the economic problem blends into the political problem, and the political problem into the ethical problem, and the ethical problem into the religious problem, which I think gives a framework for our discussion of economics and the humane economy, which sometimes those of us who are economic conservatives or who emphasize that particular area do not give enough credit to. At the most essential level, we have to ask the most important question, which reduces to this. What is the object of human life? Is it to accumulate as much as we can, as quickly as we can, with as little effort as possible? I think if the answer to that is yes, then we have a pretty simple problem presented to us. We simply have to identify the most efficient, most productive economic system and turn it loose. From the evidence I've seen, this would be laissez-faire capitalism. But for the point of discussion, let us consider for the moment some of the results of placing economic man at the apex of our existence. This morning, I enjoyed the comments of Dr. Grombacher, and in particular, I remember his comment about the internet, and that he enjoys the internet, and feels that it's a good thing. It's a demonstration of efficiency and low costs. I personally am a very well-regarded customer of Amazon, the online bookseller. They often send me free mugs and pens. I don't think that's because of my reputation. I think that's because I spend a lot with them. So I appreciate that part of the internet. We have a website for our organization. I also think, though, that it's important for those of us who view efficiency and costs and the advantages of the web, it might be important for us to keep in mind that the most active category, the most visited category of internet sites in recent studies have shown us, are pornography sites. I'm not sure that in this case the web is serving man and his spiritual needs. It may be serving some other needs of his. And it may behoove us when we're talking about the economic benefits and the efficiency of the web to think about what else we're using it for. I also think we might look at another result of talking about the economic results and placing them first in our world. The current scandals that involve our president seem to show us that there's a conflict in the American people. Perhaps the conflict is not great enough about the question of what's important. Is it character and honesty and virtue or economic progress? Now, those of us who are free marketers would say that the U.S. economy is not currently in an optimal state of freedom. On the other hand, the American people seem to feel that they are benefiting greatly from the current economic circumstances in terms of income, the stock market, their economic well-being. So what has happened? The polls show that the president is getting an incredibly high rating for job approval because of the economic results that have happened during his presidency. At the same time, we view him as probably one of the lowest, most dishonorable characters ever to serve in that office. I think this is another result that happens when we emphasize economics and economic man over any other character of man. My wife and I just returned from the Czech Republic, and we were visiting with Michael Semin, who heads the Civic Institute there, and we were talking about what's going on in the Czech Republic. And it's interesting because he said we basically replaced economic and material man in the Soviet man and the Eastern Bloc man with now the Western man. The spiritual values, again, have not grown. Corruption in the Czech Republic rivals that of Italy, which I always thought was difficult to rival. And the question is, why did this happen? His answer to part of this is because the people who were considered the conservatives, the leadership of Mr. Klaus, emphasized 100% the economic benefits that were going to result from freedom in that country. Never talked about the spiritual values, never talking about the intellectual values, never talked about the cultural values. It was the benefits of economic freedom and economic man again. Let's suppose that the resources of our minds and those of the earth are best used to serve the Creator, that all that's here is His, and that we are His servants and His stewards. Perhaps then we can go back to the earlier question, what is the object of human life? And let me again turn to Russell Kirk, I think, who answered that very well. He said, the enlightened conservative does not believe that the end or aim of life is competition or success or enjoyment or longevity or power or possessions. He believes instead that the object of life is love. He knows that the just and ordered society is that in which love governs us, so far as love can ever reign in this world of sorrows. And he knows that the anarchical or tyrannical society is that in which love lies corrupt. He has learned that love is the source of all being and that hell itself is ordained by love. And he understands death, that when we have finished the part that was assigned to us, death is the reward of love. I think we have a lot of questions yet to be answered about where we place economics and the importance of our lives as servants of the Creator. I think it's important that we not do what Alexander Solzhenitsyn talked about in his 1983 Templeton address. He said that all the great crimes of the 20th century occurred because men have forgotten God. We should not repeat this error. We should remember that man's highest level of attainment will always be spiritual. And I hope that we can, in respect for the market, still ask that economic man serve spiritual man. And now I would like to introduce Dr. Borman. Dr. Borman received his PhD in international economics from the Graduate Institute of International Studies at the University of Geneva. He holds an MS from Columbia University and his undergraduate degree from Fordham University. He was professor of economics at the National University of San Diego and continues there as professor emeritus of economics. Prior to that, he was professor of economics at Long Island University, Bucknell University, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and also visiting professor of international economics at the Graduate Institute of International Studies in Geneva. He's also served as director of research at the Institute of Economic and Legal Analysis in New York and director of research for the Center for International Business. He has also served in an official capacity as an elected official as the supervisor of San Diego County, which is one of the largest counties in California. He is also the translator of Dr. Rupke's book, Economics of the Free Society. In addition to this, he has numerous monographs and essays, but most important of all, he was a charter member of the Philadelphia Society over 30 years ago, and certainly that is a sign of both his longevity in this scholarly and prestigious society, but also his respect for the community of scholars. Dr. Borman.